Well, give me the Bible. God did just that very thing, and that Bible is so precious to His people. We should not be able to go a day without reading. We really shouldn't. It's so important, His Word. And when we think about His Word, we realize that it is the thing that lifts us up. We can find great joy and happiness reading God's Word. And that's something that hopefully is a habit that we all have. I have a question. Have you ever ran up the down escalator? If you have, and I have, and you know that especially on a long escalator, it's pretty burdensome. You get pretty tired if you're trying to run up. And if you're just walking, you don't get anywhere on that escalator. We probably have done that in the past where we just walk at the pace of the escalator and we just stay in place. Nothing changes, nothing moves. Trying to walk up that escalator can also be dangerous. It's not a smart thing to do, and most managements that are overseeing these things would encourage you not to do that because of that danger. But spiritually, brothers and sisters, living in the world that we live in today, as obedient and faithful Christians, is going to be a difficult thing, and it's like being on that escalator. That escalator represents the way of the world, always pushing down, always striving to get whoever's on it down to the bottom, to the pit. Of course, into the pit of hell itself. And that's the problem that we have, is that we live among the world, and the world is going in that direction, and we are going in the other direction. It's kind of like trying to get into the stadium of a baseball game right after the game ends, trying to get past all those people going this way, and you want to go that way. And so striving to continue to reach upward, to run that race, it's a challenge as we think about what God has said to us. In Romans chapter 8, and at verse 31, we read from the Apostle Paul those words, where he tells us, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? So going up the wrong way as the world is concerned, the world's against us and they want to drag us down. But Paul said that who can be against us? Because we can overcome, we can overpower, we can reach the goal of heaven. We can put all the sins of this world behind us. And so, but it is a trek. And so Paul, or the Hebrew writer in Hebrews tells us, let us go on to perfection. That was read in your hearing this morning. Leaving the discussion and the elementary principles of Christ, he says, let us go on to perfection. And part of that going on to perfection is not laying again the foundations of repentance from dead work, from faith, from God, of God, and the doctrines of baptism, the laying on of hands, and the resurrection of life. He tells us the resurrection from the dead and the judgment that comes, that, you know, we can do all that if God permits, and that's how we overcome the world. That Greek word that's used there for perfection is a noun, and it comes from the word teleotes, and it means a state of moral and spiritual completeness, right? We know that the Word of God is breathed out by God. We know it's good for doctrine, reproof, and instruction of righteousness. That the man of God, that's the person of God, may be thoroughly complete. All the things that we need are in God's Word. And so we want to go on to perfection. And as we think about that, think about a life where you would never ever sin, because that's not what the word means. This idea of perfection, completeness, it doesn't mean that you'll live a life purely without sin, because if that were true, we wouldn't need Jesus. But what it does mean is that you're living a life striving for what is not sin. What it means is that you're striving to be complete in Christ, to serve God through an obedient life. That's part of being complete, to love God with all your mind and your heart with all your strength is what helps us to be reaching out for completeness. It also has to do with love of the body of Christ. We love one another, and also to love the world's lost souls is part of being complete. And so we want to go on to perfection, even though the travel is very difficult as we do so. John chapter 14 and verse 15, Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." That's part of being complete in Christ. Colossians chapter 1:18 tells us that he is the head of the body. The body is the church. And to love the church and the work of the church is part of striving for perfection. And so being spiritually minded is being striving for perfection or completeness. And so we need those things. We realize that we can't be saved without them. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. Matthew chapter 28, we're told to go out and to seek and save the lost, to go out into all the world, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's part of being perfected or complete in God, to do those things that are necessary. You can go home today and read the one chapter of Luke chapter 15, read that whole chapter there. It's all about the lost coin, the lost sheep. It's all about striving to find that one thing that's lost. And that's what Jesus came into the world to do. And that's what we need to do if we want to be going on to perfection. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 9 through 11, living righteous lives. That means repenting of every sin, discontinuing what is unacceptable to God to do what is acceptable to God. And then only then can we, as God's children, find that perfection, achieve that moral and spiritual completeness. And so it's really hard going up those steps. But we also want to remember that we live in this world going down. We don't have to go down with it. Christians are seeking godliness, righteousness. And we do so every day of our life, as we live and learn more and more about God, about God's will for us in our lives, and we avoid the immorality, the sin. That's going on to perfection. We will never be perfect like Jesus was perfect, but we're constantly moving towards that goal of perfection. And yes, we're told in 1 John that we who have the seed of God in us, the seed of Christ, do not sin. Now, we know that that also means that when we see sin in our lives, when sin becomes a component of our daily lives, that we can stop it. There's never going to be a time where sin doesn't become a part of our life, but we can stop the sin. So John was telling us that we don't have to sin. We can stop it. We have that power to do so. And that helps us to strive for that perfection, to walk away from immorality and sin towards godliness and righteousness towards a God. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, we're told how important it is to not grow weary in doing good. Doing good. Doing good for other people, doing good for our families, for the people that we work for, doing good for the church. And that includes the love and the care that we have for one another, doing good for our neighbors. All these things are part of a genuine perfection and striving. There's always going to be trials. There's always going to be obstacles. There's always going to be troubles, and there's always going to be fears. But those things don't need to pull us down. While we're here on the earth, if we press on to perfection with the help of God, we can overcome any obstacle whatsoever. So we want to talk about this foundation, this idea of having the right foundation as brothers and sisters in Christ. Of course, that foundation is what is built on the Word of God. Jesus said, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and they beat on that house and it did not fall, for it was founded upon the rock. And we realize how powerful the wind and the rain is. Recent history in North Carolina, the southern states that had that cyclone come through and literally washed homes off their foundations. People were left without a house. And we pray that they get the help that they really do need. But think about a house that can't be moved. A house that's built on the rock, spiritually speaking. That's your soul. And all the rain can come, all the winds can blow, and they can beat on you all day long, but it will not fall because the rock that you're built upon is Christ's word. And, you know, the opposite of that is true when you read verses 26 through the end there, how Jesus Christ said that if you build your house on the sand, what happens when the winds and the rains come and the floods, they wipe you out. And so spiritually speaking, building your house on the sand is building it on something that is not from God. And so we want to build on the rock. We want to build on the very word of God. That's what makes us strong. The level of protection that comes from God is unmanageable and unprecedented. We need to commit to growing spiritually every day. Be on that foundation, on the rock. Submitting to God's will in humility, trusting God who's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we may ask. Think about that. Even what we think. That's the God that we serve. Ephesians chapter 3 and at verse 20. So what do? We got to press on. When it seems like we can't, we go and give more. We press on more. We think about those words, to press on to perfection in our worship, in our work of the church, in evangelism, and committing ourselves to the continued growth in all the areas that are necessary. And I want you to also notice in the Hebrews chapter 6, the very first word is the word therefore. Right? Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary entry principles of Christ, we go on to perfection. You know, therefore is a word in our language that says there's something ahead of that. And of course, that something ahead is chapter 5. We look back to chapter 5 and verses 12 through 14, and we think about our spiritual maturity. Right? This writer says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, and yet you need somebody to teach you again, the first principles of the oracles of God, the word of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. This is a very poor foundation for a Christian, right? When we think about those words, therefore leaving the discussion of elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, right? We're not laying down the old foundation again and again and again. We have to lay it on the sure rock of Christ and then continue to build from there on. Each thing that we build upon becomes a rock in our life. And so the cycle of the church should be a gathering of newly converted saints. That newly converted saints, that group, will begin to be taught by God. They will hear the word of God. They will begin to investigate and meditate on it, and then they become matures, eating the meat now, not the milk. But the problem is, we read from Hebrews that they're not on the strong meat, that they're still on the milk. Years and years have gone by in many Christians' lives, and they're still not teaching. Many people in the church have been coming to church. You know, how long have you been here? I've been here since 1935. I just talked to a fellow yesterday. He was 90 years old. His name is Lamar Swales from Norton. He's 90 years old. He turned 90 on December 25th. He was born in 1935. And he is the person that I call the man who speaks Bible-ese. And he does. And he teaches. And he's on dialysis 3 days a week and he still teaches. On dialysis 3 days a week and he makes no excuses. On dialysis 3 days a week, he still holds a stopping sign for the crossing guard at the, for the local school. At 90 years old, he's still preaching Jesus to everybody that he meets. We don't want to be the Christian that we're talking about here in chapter 5. We don't want day to day go by and we don't even talk about Jesus. We don't attempt to invite people into worship. We don't attempt to invite people into Bible studies. We just live every day for ourselves. Well, that's what the therefore is referring to, right? That cycle where the church is, a new church is planted, the new converts learn, those converts start to go out and teach and preach Jesus and the coming kingdom and the need for salvation through the blood of Christ, and then that church grows. And new people come in and the cycle continues until one day maybe another church has to be planted. But that's the right cycle. The wrong cycle is that a church is planted in the beginning, they have hundreds and hundreds of members, and then over the years, the members do nothing. They sit by and do nothing. The church fails. It's going up the down escalator and it's running out of speed. It's going up the down escalator and running into so many objects that it just gets tired and desires just to sit back and let somebody else do the work. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we realize that the solid foundation of members who have for years and years continued to grow, continued to reach out in the community, continued to be a part of the work. And then you see the problem in verses 13 and 14 where he says, "For everyone who partakes of only milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full of age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Reason of youth, use rather. That word use implies the work. And so that's what we need to be doing, the work. We don't want to be willfully unskilled in talking to people about the gospel. Certainly we don't want to fear talking to people. God has told us that we don't need to fear any man. What can man do to us? He can kill us at the worst case scenario in his mind. In our mind, that puts us right into the paradise. So there's what can man do to us? They can yell at us, criticize us, hate us, you know, revile us. So what? Because we have God on our side. The foundation is slated on the divine truth of God. Repentance, turning away from sin, contrary to the way of Christ. Of faith, obedience in Christ. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9. He's the author and finisher of our faith, and he is the one who, if we obey him, saves us. And so we can teach people about their baptism, teach people about what it means to lay hands on others, teach people about the Word and the Holy Spirit, the resurrection from the dead, and the final and eternal judgment. We can do that. Very few of us here in this room don't. If we really sat down and just kind of meditated on those subjects that we read about in chapter 6, we would be able to do it. And so we need to do it. We need to be those who are not standing still on that escalator that leads down, because that's where you go. If you just stand still, you go down. If you walk, you kind of remain where you are and you waste your time. And if you run to win the race, then you will receive that crown of life, that goal. And so we want to be warned, without the right foundation, we will end up doing the work of the devil. You know, if you say nothing, you're doing the work of the devil. He loves that, right? You don't have to learn evil and how to practice evil. All you got to do is do nothing, because that escalator is just going to take you down. That's what he wants. If we don't exercise our spirit, if we're not diligent in study, if we don't spread the word of God, we're doing the work of the devil. That's what he wants. He wants us to be very comfortable in our salvation, realizing that I'm going to heaven, and that's it. My ticket's paid for. That's what people of the world religions, they use that all the time.
Right?
My ticket's paid for. I don't have to do anything. I'm going to heaven. I have the blood of Christ applied to my life. You're going to lose what you gained, is what that therefore means. That escalator doesn't stop. And that escalator is an analogy or a metaphor for Satan, who never sleeps, never stops. And so we cannot do what he does. So we think about this, building the foundation, these three things: gird, purify, and love. Look, you know, you think of this, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16, and at verse 22. It requires that we gird up our loins and to be holy in all our conduct. Remember that we were redeemed by the blood of Christ. That is a big deal. Our souls were purified by the blood of Christ. And that blood was the most amazing and unimaginable cost for our own soul. And so we need to be a people who live like that Lamb of God in this life, striving for purity, striving to love God more than self, so that the Lamb of God, His blood that was without blemish, without spot, continues to wash us as we continue to live and repent. You know, at verse 22 of 1 Peter 1, Peter reminded us that we have to purify our souls. Denying the truth is not an option. Living by the Spirit, excuse me, and having love for the brethren, love for one another, love for the church, love with a pure heart. Secondly, we think of desire and grow thereby, right? 1 Peter 2, verse 1 and 2, we're told to lay aside all the sins, everything that controls us in this world, all the desires of the world, and we need to desire the pure milk of the Word so that we can grow thereby. It's so important to do those things. It's the desire for the knowledge of God, which is salvation, to learn about God, John 17 and 3. It's that desire for knowing the truth about salvation, knowing the Word of God, having that part of our lives. And that reminds us always how, again, time rushes on. It never stops. And until that time stops in our life, until we pass from this life to the next, we need to continue to desire the truth and desire to grow. We're told that the benefit is spiritual maturity and the ability to discern both good and evil. And thirdly, we think about the unity and strength. You know, the body can't be shaken. When we talk about the body, it's the body of Christ, which we are, and it can't be shaken. Where there is unity, we have strength. When we have the knowledge of God and the Son of God, of the words of the Holy Spirit that came from God, we cannot be shaken. Christians who know the Word of God, who can speak Bible-ese, if you will, which is the faith, Hebrews 10 and 17, will never be tossed to and fro by every evil, by every doctrine that's out there, by wicked and evil teachers. Never happen. And there's more false teachers in this world than there are teachers of the truth. And that's why that escalator is so difficult of life, because everybody else is coming down and you have to push people side to side in order to get there. And when I say push people side to side, I'm talking about their teaching, not the individual. If you're pushing the teaching side to side, and then you go up that center difficult path. And that's what Jesus called it, the road to heaven. The road to eternal life is narrow and difficult. And so, the power of the gospel, what is it? It's the truth. The power of the gospel is that we can have unity and have strength through the Word, and the power of the gospel is what saves. So consider what happens if you don't. You know, what happens if we don't? If we're stagnant, not building on the Word, right? That means that every false teaching can cause you to fall. If we're not building our lives if we're stagnant and we just, I was baptized and that's it. I don't need to try to have Bible studies anymore. I'm good to go. That's a real quick way to fall. Not building. In other words, not doing some of the work. That's stagnant, standing still. Downward you go. You know, remember that there are at least 38 plus thousand individually named Christian religions or churches that are contradictory to one another, and they have a lot of false doctrine to teach. Every one of them is different in some way or the other. That's why they have different names. But if we do nothing, and all the time we claim to be wearing the name of Christ, we're going to be misled. Because sooner or later, one of those teachers is going to get your heart and your mind and lead you in that false doctrine. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 12, we don't want to be those people like those early Jewish Christians were and start teaching things that aren't true, not teaching a different gospel but perverting the gospel. They will be accursed. But when we are filled with the Word of God, filled with the Word of truth, it enables us to shun and all that insane babbling, that idle babbling, to shun all that ungodliness. We can do that. So finally here, we think about these words. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase more to more ungodliness. And so good advice from Paul. We do want to remember too that it is said by Peter that if we are in this world and we turn back away from that which we received, he tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20, if you look there with me, he says, 1 Peter chapter 2, and verse 20. He tells us, for what credit is it if, when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently, but when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, it is that which is commanded. I'm reading 1 Peter. I want 2 Peter. Sorry about that. Verse 20. I thought it was in the wrong place. Somebody moved the text on my Bible. Verse 20, for if they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome. The latter end is worse for them than the beginning. Verse 21, for it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it and turned from the holy commandment delivered to them. But he says, then it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit and a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mirror. Peter's quoting from Proverbs, and he's quoting from Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 11. We don't want to be people who are turning our backs on God after having received the knowledge of truth. We don't want to be people who are willfully sinning after having received the knowledge of truth. We want to press on to that perfection that is in Christ Jesus. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 6. We read these words, for it is impossible. I'm in Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 6. Here we are. It is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they have crucified again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. This is the place where we need to be building. Building on the right foundation, building on the Word of God, becoming participants in the work of the church. So that foundation that we build upon, what does it do? It naturally leads us up. It's like it lifts us off of that downward spiral and helps us to go up and reach perfection. And that we must do. In Matthew chapter 12 and at verse 30, Jesus, he makes it pretty clear that we need to be a people who are following in his footsteps. We need to be a people who are not against him, but for him. Because he said, whoever is not with us is against us. And so think about what that really means, right? Think about that, what it really means. So the best news ever, every Christian is capable of going on to perfection, right? Hebrews chapter 6 and at verse 9. But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner, right? We can receive the good news. We're capable of reaching perfection because of better things that come to us from God, right? And it's not true that some people will receive more than others from God. That's not true. Every child of God has the ability, the capability to grow spiritually. No matter where you started or no matter where you're at right now, we all have that ability. We can all study God's Word. We can study together. We can study privately. And we'll know the truth, and the truth will set us free. And so as we think about that and we go on to perfection, we realize that there are better things concerning us, better than what the world has to offer. And so we want to be careful not to become sluggish. We want to work and labor of love. That's what we want in our lives. And so let's remember those things and not become sluggish. We want to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises of God. So Jesus said to the church in Philadelphia in Revelation chapter 3, something that we should take to heart. In Revelation chapter 3 and at verse 10, he says, because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell upon the earth. If we persevere, if we press on to perfection, Jesus made the promise that he will keep us from that hour of trial. So the question is, have you already pressed on? Have you already obeyed the gospel? We do as Paul said, we remain steadfast and movable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, 1 Corinthians 15 and 58. Have we done that? And are we continuing? Or if you're here today and you have not obeyed the gospel, certainly this is a time and the hour to do so, because Jesus wants you to come to him. And if you do that, then you will be part of that promise, that you will be protected in that hour of trial when it comes upon us. We repent of our sins, Luke 13 and 3. If you haven't done that, you need to do so, to confess Jesus before men, Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, to believe that he is the Christ and to be baptized for the remission of sins. That's what we must do. Let that blood of Christ wash away your sins, be added to the body of Christ, and then continue to grow every day and every day through study and diligent care. And so that's the lesson. I hope we realize the greatness of being on the rock of Christ and what we can do with that as his disciples, what we must do. If you have need this day, you really do need to come forward and make it known. Whatever that need is, to be baptized into Christ, put on Christ, or whether it is to repent of sin or just ask questions, or ask for prayers. We do invite you, please, don't wait one extra day, one extra minute. Come forward now as we stand and as we sing.
Hear the sweet voice of Jesus say.